enjoy it.
You have a big crowd and they're laughing. Who gives a fuck what other people think?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, Tony Miller and Ron Bauman joined us to watch a horrible movie called God's Not Dead. We thought it would be funny, but boy, were we wrong. It's really just funny porn.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. We are here in the beautiful living room studios at Nick and Molly's house. It is a Friday night, and we have just subjected ourselves to a movie. I should point out, I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, of course, as always, by my beautiful co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Molly Glover.
Heal my cancer, Lord.
We are also joined by two of our favorite guests, Ron Bauman and Tony Miller.
Ave te mortu salute.
All five of us just two really long hours.
Super long. We didn't even pause it or anything like we did with Dark Dungeons. We were pausing a lot to laugh at Dark Dungeons.
Well, that's because we wanted to enjoy every second of Dark Dungeons. With this, we just wanted to get it the fuck over with.
So the movie we're talking about is God's Not Dead. It was a film that I described as we were watching it as fundamentalist porn.
It is.
Yes.
And by that I mean that I think fundamentalists watch movies like this where one of their own proselytizes and wins. And that's,
everyone wins everyone.
And they win over everyone except like maybe three people. And
No, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, this, a synopsis. New Christian kid, freshman, comes to a college. Goes into a philosophy course run by a very angry atheist played by Kevin Sorbo.
Angry God atheist, listeners.
Angry anti-God. Angry at God atheist.
Anti-theist.
Who makes the... Kevin Sorbo tries to make everybody write on their pages, God is dead, so we can get on with atheist thought. And then one kid doesn't. I'm sorry, I'm completely hijacking this.
No.
He's used to it. I'm on the show.
One kid doesn't. There's a challenge. So the basis of this movie is this freshman Christian kid has three chances, three 20-minute periods in his class, in the philosopher's class, to basically prove that God is still alive. That's the basic. There's some B-plot of a Muslim girl who's secretly a Christian, a Chinese kid who is suddenly drawn to Christianity.
Then there's
the vegetarian.
The vegetarian liberal who gets
liberal
cancer.
Gets cancer.
And her shitty boyfriend, who is a high-powered executive in the world of money.
Alzheimer's mom.
And the shitty guy is...
The angry atheist's girlfriend, who is a Christian,
yes.
Mina, she and the shitty money guy are brother and sister, have a surprisingly ancient mother.
Well, what really comes down to is...
Prophetess.
Yeah.
Okay, come on.
Right.
Come on.
Their mother, Cassandra.
What it really comes down to is... There's a bunch of Christian characters and things go great for them, and there's a bunch of atheist characters, and because they don't believe in God, bad things happen to them throughout the movie.
Atheist, Muslim.
Non-Christian.
Also one Christian person who has bad things happen to him because he wants to go to Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
God hates Disney World. That is one of the takeaways from this movie.
The pastor,
that's because Mickey Mouse is an idol.
Wow, that's actually not so far
also
off.
Also because Disney World supports gay people.
The pastor, who looks a lot like Paul Schneider from Parks and Rec, but isn't, thankfully, because I really liked him and I didn't want to not like him. That character is doubting his beliefs, which is manifested in his inability to start a car. Every car he gets in won't start.
Three times.
At least.
Three different cars. Yeah.
God hates Disney World.
That's right.
And he's trying to take African guy to Disney World,
wow.
Disneyland.
Racist.
That's his whole identity.
His own,
no, you're right.
His,
you're right.
Whole
his
thing.
Own identity is that he's from Africa.
And he's a missionary, and he wants to
know,
go see the Mickey Mouse.
Anyway.
My
God
mom,
is good.
I don't know why
God
I said Italian.
Yeah, keep saying God is good. He's the magic Negro Christian.
He
is
the magic
and,
Negro.
Yeah.
It, well, and,
did I ever say Negro?
We're talking about
you are.
We're talking about a character archetype that happens throughout the history.
I understand tropes.
Yeah.
I just still running
oh,
the words.
Oh, it's a trope.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's this movie is the nadir of Kevin Sorbo's career. It is like if you've seen Hercules and
he
stuff. I didn't know he was such a fucking asshole.
He got a lot of flack for this role. Because there were atheists who were angry that he portrayed atheists this way, and there were Christians who were disappointed that he would take this role.
He would play the atheist.
Yeah.
So
you
play
yeah.
an atheist. Except he's an atheist. Well, spoilers. Spoilers. He's an atheist who converts. So anyway.
Spoiler alert. He's not an atheist because
no.
he believes in God.
He is. He's an atheist.
Evidenced
angry
by when they
God.
Say, why do you hate God? And he says, because he took everything away from me.
Right.
Right.
So that's believing
he,
in God.
He's not an atheist.
Yeah, he's
so
not
this kid,
an atheist.
Not to like check your card or whatever, but
this,
come on, man.
This kid, this freshman.
Dog in the manger atheist.
Josh Josh Whedon.
Josh Whedon.
Josh
yeah.
Whedon.
Josh
not,
Whedon.
Not,
Whedon.
Not,
Josh Whedon. Whedon.
Yeah.
But when he pronounces it.
Decides that God would want someone to defend him. Because God isn't all-powerful and capable of fighting his own fights. Clearly he needs a freshman in college.
Well, he does
to,
need Kim
it's about
Davis.
Time someone stuck
oh, yeah,
up for God,
Kim
Ron.
He does
it's,
need Kim Davis to defend him in Kentucky.
I feel, like even, I feel like even God is like, whoa, 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 Kim Davis.
Easy,
like,
easy,
just
Kim.
Relax, man. They already decided. I'm
guys,
cool with it now.
I think people have been pushing around God for long enough, and it's time someone pushed back on God's
behalf.
I wish someone would
finally like give God a voice.
Oh, the second
yeah.
coming. This time it's personal.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired of all of these people who believe in God being like so downtrodden. And never having a voice in the world.
So yeah, no, they really nobody listens to them. It's not like an order run for president in this country. You have to be a Christian or anything. That's
just the last 43.
Can I just off topic for just a second? It would be so worth it for this house full of these many atheists to be hit by a lightning bolt right fucking now.
I would take that.
Would be amazing.
Nick and I have all, okay. So there was this one time we were out and we were like, oh, like being like joking around, like, oh, if there's no God, like let me. If there's a God, show us a sign. And like something dumb happened. It was obviously coincidental.
Like a dog barked or
yeah.
something. Yeah.
And we're like, okay, but like a real sign.
But so there was a cameo by one of the Duck Dynasty frauds.
Yeah.
And was
yeah.
that? I wonder if that his cameo was before all the shit happened
it
with
had
the
been.
Show,
it had been.
Or if
oh,
it was
they
after.
Well,
happened.
See, it's
oh,
I bet they would have. I bet this is a fundamentalist. Production company.
So
they totally would have touched Duck Dynasty.
They're making God's Not Dead 2. He's alive, and Duck Dynasty is in that one as well.
Maybe they're financing
they're
it.
They're totally
was the
financing
older dude.
It.
It was the older dude
yeah,
that got
yeah.
the show canceled.
Right.
It was the older dude that was really homophobic.
Yeah.
Was the show
really shitty?
Was the show canceled? I thought.
Yeah.
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 It got canceled after the paterfamilias got up there and was saying a bunch of like...
I thought they just took him off the show.
No.
They,
okay.
did, they said they were going to do that at first, and then it was like not good enough. Like, you know all the gays and Jews in the media.
Right.
How they always
yeah.
control everything.
So Kevin Sorbo is an angry at God
atheist yeah.
because cancer took his mother when he was 12, and he's never forgiven God since.
Let me devil's advocate a little bit. I found that the movie was well acted,
yes.
well performed. Sorbo turned into I'd find a performance for what was written
yeah.
to him. I'm a sucker for movies, so even the little redemption arc for the underdog striking back, I enjoyed that part. I mean, the basic premise was dumb. It was poorly argued. It was fun and frustrating watching the logical fallacies as they were trying to prove that God. Isn't dead.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you really
like
wanted to be in
Genesis.
The room. You really wanted to be in the room with Tony because every time they came up with a really bad
yeah.
logical argument, Tony was just yelling at the screen.
All
like,
the
no!
Yeah.
Oh,
no, it was amazing. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Well, you know, Tony, it's there's without God, there's no reason to be moral, right?
Right. They brought, oh my God. So, thank you. They brought up, atheists have no morals because without God and the fear of evidently damnation is the only thing keeping us from raping and killing. They brought in Lee Strobel, who is just a horrific, horrific logical argument. He pops up a lot on the quote Christian debates, but funny how he doesn't want to actually debate someone like Matt Dillahunty,
right,
who's an amazing rhetorician.
Matt Dillahunty is so clever.
He's good. Or say Hitchens when he was alive. You know, Lee Sobel dodges all these things. He's a, you know, young earth bullshitter. You know, and they bring up, they start down the roads of these logical syllogisms, and then they just go straight into the creationist, the fundamentalist. They went in for abiogenesis, which is life from lifelessness. We don't know, which is great about being an atheist or any kind of a scientist, is we don't know how life. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Let's go find out. Well, if you don't know, that means God. You know, you can't
historically
explain.
That's true, though. Historically, when we don't know,
true.
We say God.
Well, you can't explain a mystery with a bigger mystery.
Yeah.
Right.
And then this young freshman, he brought up the whole, well, the Big Bang Theory. That's God because it sprang from nothingness. It's like, no, that's not actually what the cosmological argument is. It's so frustrating because it's an obscuring.
Mm-hmm.
These fundamentalists, they pick and choose quotes from Hawking, quotes from Darwin, as Tim said, completely out of context.
Yeah.
And then they twist it and obscure it and fuck them all.
I think the least believable part of this entire movie was the fact that when the kid checked books out of the library, they stamped them.
Yeah!
And everyone was using pencil and paper to write shit down in the classrooms and stuff.
There was like one kid with a laptop.
Yeah.
And I think the most believable part of this movie was what a bitch his freshman girlfriend was.
Oh yeah, she
wouldn't let him have any cake.
But he is going to be dating the converted Muslim girl, so you know.
Yeah.
She's pretty good looking.
She's pretty good looking. Yes, in God's Not Dead 2, he's surely alive. Melissa Joan Hart is in it, so apparently Clarissa really is going to explain it all.
Well, she's going to have to explain it. And just assume that she made a decent argument.
Please tell me Kirk Cameron and the banana is going to be in God's Not Dead 2. Please tell me.
Another thing the kid says when he's making his argument is, if God does not exist, then everything is permissible.
Was Jean-Paul Sartre?
No, it was Dostoevsky.
Dostoevsky.
Because we never had laws or rules before God. Before Christianity, guys, we didn't have any of that stuff.
I mean, we've said this before on this show, but I don't think Christians understand how terrifying it is, as an atheist who is a good person, to hear them say, well, if there's no such thing as God, then nothing, then I can do whatever I want.
Yes.
So why? What? Nothing prevents me from rape, murder, torture, stealing.
Cool. They use that trope in as a character, that the guy who's lost his faith and then just becomes fuck all evil?
Yes, that's the Dean Cain character,
yep,
who has come a long way in the wrong direction.
Yep. And then his mother, in a you know how when you have dementia, you have those weird moments of religious clarity where all of a sudden you speak with God's voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens to my grandma all the time, except that instead she just doesn't know where she is.
Sometimes the devil lets you have a wonderful life so they don't have to God.
I feel like going to a memory care facility and just talking about... talking about a crisis of faith to everybody in the facility and see if any of them just suddenly starts to speak with God's voice. Because,
nice.
I mean, maybe it happens. Maybe
it
happens.
Wouldn't it be funny if God's like, if they speak with God's voice, it's like, the devil, like, he makes a comfortable prison, like, and, like, you don't even know until the gates slam shut, and then, like, you're stuck in it? Like, God?
And it's gonna be, like, totally awful. Yeah.
I think one of the, and this is going to be a spoiler alert for those of you who want to
see it. Who really want to see it. It's streaming on Netflix.
Please don't waste your time. The angry atheist gets hit by a car.
Going
in
about
the rain.
30 miles an hour.
And
tops.
And just flips over and he's dying. His lungs are filling with blood, according to the magic Negro Christian.
Because the magic and African Negro can't predict
and actually diagnose internal injuries by looking at
him. No one calls 911. They just look at him and goes, he's dying.
Here's a minister, an evangelical minister, and a missionary kneeling over this guy who's in unbelievable pain.
And tells him, I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
They just know him.
No,
Do you know Jesus?
Do you know Jesus?
Okay.
And
like,
he says, I'm an atheist.
Or?
And they keep hounding this man on his deathbed to convert. And he converts and then dies. And that's where the fundy porn comes in. Because
it's snuff porn.
That's all we need. Yeah.
Thank you. I was hoping I was
going to
say that.
Well,
yeah.
And it's the car, by the way, is the fourth car the Reverend tries starting. the first three throughout the movie, they don't start because he's having a small crisis of faith, and God punishes that by not having his car start so he can't go to Disney World. I'm not kidding. That's literally, what's happening is he's having a crisis of faith so God doesn't let him go to Disney World.
We do have to be fair that I don't think they say the name of the theme park. They just make it really clear.
He says he's going to get a picture of him with wearing mouse ears.
Mouse ears.
Yeah.
That's as close as they can without getting in trouble with Disney.
So the Reverend Pastor dude, Pastor Cool Guy, jeans, short sleeve over long
jeans
sleeve.
And a little bit scruff, of a 5 o'clock
shadow.
Yeah, he's
cool guy. He resolves his crisis of faith when the crypto-Christian Muslim chick comes to him for help after getting kicked out because her brother sees her listening to the Bible on an iPod, because that's a thing.
It is.
So he, he, having resolved his crisis of faith, the car starts. God killed the atheist. I mean,
yeah, I think I saw the car starting thing in Escape to Witch Mountain. I'm pretty sure I saw the car starting.
Yeah,
so God let the car start, knowing full well that in his
it wasn't his car that killed him. It was the other guy's car that killed him. God wanted him to be there so he could convert.
I think he hit their car.
God's a fucker.
I thought he hit him with his car.
No, it was the other guy's car.
No.
It was a hit and run. The car hit him, stopped, and then drove away.
Oh, so was it a car driven by an atheist?
It wasn't.
Nobody was like, did anybody get the license plate of that car?
It's an
opportunity to convert. It's not an opportunity to catch the hit and run that just murdered somebody.
I said this as the poor atheist character was dying and converting. If I'm laying in the street and some Christer is over me, you know, asking me to acknowledge God, I will just shout out, get the fuck away from me. Get me a doctor and or a stripper. Just get the fuck.
What Molly said, just hold up both middle fingers and go, fuck you.
Okay, just as a secondary,
fuck your God.
As you say, the crypto Muslim girl who shows up after she's been slapped by her dad, picked up bodily and thrown out of her house.
Yeah.
Shows up
and choked on the doorstep.
No,
he
just put his hand. He did not choke her.
Okay, you're right. He didn't choke her.
It was on her cheek.
No, it was on her throat. He put a hand on her throat to let her know he could choke her, and he didn't.
Fair enough.
Right. It's much better.
But he didn't choke her. She shows up. She's utterly bereft at cool preacher's office. Cool pastor's office. And, of course, they fucking quote scripture at her, so she quotes scripture back, which all cults do. And that's the last we see of her predicament. Until she shows up at
the
Newsboys concert, which, by the way, the Newsboys obviously had money in this or something people were wearing Newsboys T-shirts and everything like that. We never know what happens.
She has a
meet cute with the proselytizing freshman.
She does have a meet cute with that freshman.
Yeah, but
you're
at
the
concert. But
you
don't know.
How'd you get into the concert?
Paul Atreides.
What's her living arrangement?
Yeah, we don't know where
she's going to become a Newsboy groupie.
Oh, she's fine. Don't worry about her. She's good.
Oh, that's right. She converted.
We're all
got it.
Living on their bus.
Let's talk about the racial and cultural stereotypes that we were beaten over the fucking head with. Because, of course, the random Asian guy, he did great in math.
Tested out of math and chemistry.
Right.
While talking to his disapproving father, who had high standards for him scholastically, and said, you know, no God, do homework.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like...
Well, also, and here's what's interesting. There's a lot of truth that came through this. The Chinese boy's father, who's in China, on the phone saying, do not talk about this over the phone. You will inhibit your brother from going to university.
You never know who's listening.
That's actually true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's nice because there's a lot of truth. Every Christian sitting in the audience during that movie was horrified, was indignant, was aggravated that horrible Muslim dad kicked his daughter out for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And yet not a single fucking one of them would do the same thing when they kicked out the gay son.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
So, they were horrified at that. They're horrified that China doesn't allow talking about religion. That's terrible. They're horrified that Kevin Sorbo treated the students so bad because he was such an asshole. And he is such an asshole. The character is an asshole, for sure. But, like, none of these things have anything to do with religion inherently.
And once,
add an asterisk.
Once,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to make an asterisk that I made this extremely negative Christian, generalization against Christians, only in the defense of the rationalizations and generalizations we have just seen. I don't feel that all Christians are like that. But all the ones that are responsible for that movie, fuck you. Yeah, you are. You're horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, but again, I mean, to me, this is a fantasy movie. This is, yeah. I mean, they set up an atheist straw man who is just the worst of all atheists.
Yeah. Atheists in the room are like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You're not helping our argument.
He's not an atheist.
He starts his class by telling all the students, you know, and Tony, I'll get to this because you said you had a professor that did this. And to me, it's like, I was a philosophy minor and I took religion courses. And, you know, in philosophy class, if you were arguing that God existed with your teacher, he would argue vehemently that you were wrong to get you to come up with a better argument. If you were arguing that God didn't exist, he would argue vehemently with you that you were wrong. That's philosophy. Philosophy is about testing your argument.
Backing up your reasons for why you believe what you do.
And a philosophy professor that stands up at the beginning of the term and basically says, this is a philosophical absolute that from where we must start, mm-hmm. is a really bad philosophy professor.
Yeah.
And even though
a good philosophy professor would say, this is an absolute from where we start, who disagrees with me, and when the hands go up, say, convince me.
Yes.
And that's valid.
Yeah. But it did allow to play into the fantasy thing, into the Christian porn thing. Oh, poor persecuted Christians.
Who can't go to college because all the college professors are atheists. And all the college professors in this movie are atheists.
Yeah. It's a fucking Mary Sue story.
People.
What happened in your class, Tony? I would love to...
Okay, this is before... This was before I was an atheist. I just transferred from Goshen College, which is a Bible college. Religious college, anyway. Mennonite. Mm-hmm. And I transferred to Denver University, and because a lot of my Bible courses didn't translate as humanities, I had to retake humanities. So as a junior, I was taking English, you know, freshman humanities. So I walked into Philosophy 101, like, great. And it was the angry son of a minister who was the teacher. He was like Kevin Sorbo, which is really frustrating because this philosophy professor that I had, who was like Kevin Sorbo in this movie, very similar. The whole shutdown of any kind of debate, shutdown of any alternative thing. God is dead, and you give all the reasons why that are valid. But he was a douchebag.
Yeah.
He was a douchebag. And it's so frustrating to me that of the freshmen in the class who hadn't already studied philosophy, who hadn't already studied logic, were completely cowed by this guy.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't, just like the movie, he would have failed them.
And
there are professors like that.
Oh, yeah.
And do they give atheists a bad name?
In an opposite kind of way, when I was a freshman, I took a class that was a brand new class at St. Kate's. They still teach, called The Reflective Woman. And it was about... it was supposed to be empowering and learning about how to express your opinions.
It was mirrors versus vampires.
No, it's very...
Right.
It was very... And I... You know, like I went to college prep school, so a lot of this, I was like, oh, we already did a lot of this self-introspective kind of... But a lot of the other girls hadn't, and I couldn't understand that. So one of the things we were supposed to do was bring in an object that we thought represented aesthetic beauty. And then explain why. And, you know, people are telling other things, and this poor young, I'm just going to say, looked like a blonde farm girl, you know, stands up with a picture of a sunset and says, this is the sunset. And it's aesthetically beautiful to me. And the teacher said, you fail, sit down. And she was like, he's like, are you describing the picture or the sunset? Like the actual photograph of the sunset? And she's like, well, the sunset, because each one is so beautiful and unique. And he's like, aesthetic means man-made specifically for beauty. Sit down. And I was like, no, it doesn't.
Bullshit.
Like, that's not what that means at all. And he's like, oh, and I'm like, also, you're a Christian, right? And she was like, I am. And I was like, well, then she believes, I'm assuming, that God creates the sunset. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, so that would be created for the purpose of being beautiful because it has no other purpose. Therefore, that would make it an aesthetic object and she doesn't fail. And like, and he was so mad. He's like, well, you're a Wiccan, because at the time I was. He's like, you don't even believe in Jesus or God, so I don't want you to speak to my class anymore. And I was like, I don't think you can say that to me. And he was like, if you're not going to believe in Jesus, you can get out of my class. And so I left. And nothing could happen to him because he had tenure. Like, they didn't do anything. They let me drop the class without a fee. That's what they let me do.
So,
but like, it's
there's
crazy.
There's certainly the Christian reflection of that. And I think... I mean, I think the professor that you experienced is extremely unusual for an atheist.
I think so too.
And for a philosophy professor. I mean, that is bad philosophy. Philosophy is not about explaining to students that they must share your belief system, but teaching them how to defend their own.
My guess is a lot of atheist professors hide it.
It depends on what institution they're at. I was just thinking, and I kind of want to bring it back to Tim said, this is fundamentalist porn. The atheist professor, Kevin Sorbo, had a girlfriend who was a former student of his, so that means he's still a douchebag. Treated her poorly in front of his fellow philosophers. Yeah, he's a douchebag. But she used the term that's a code word, which we did pause the one time when she said, I feel I'm unevenly yoked.
Right.
Isn't it unequally yoked?
Unequally yoked.
Unequally yoked, thank you.
Yeah.
And that is a code with evangelicals that says you're not yoking yourself, you're not getting together with a fellow Christian. And that will lead you astray. So this is such fundamental point. I'm looking at the poster of the Avengers here. You know, secularists, mainline people, we get great fantasies. Like the Avengers or Lord of the Rings. I don't give a shit that Tolkien had a Christian worldview. He purposely said Lord of the Rings was not Christian.
Right.
And I'm saying that to my Mission Baptist relatives. Sorry, Raina, I do love you, but your ideology is shit.
She's probably not listening.
Raina, listen to the... Oh, that's not going to help.
I'm going to guess. Yeah, they really...
Give her a call.
Really don't.
Says God's not.
So if this is the best fantasy that they can do,
yeah.
I feel so sorry for them.
Yeah.
Let's have a robust fundamentalist fantasy.
What's the opposite of a Mary Sue? What's the one that you write about as like your dream opponent... Your ideal person, your ideal oppressor, like you're, you know what I mean? Like a not like writing yourself into a story so that you can be the most popular kid in school with Harry Potter and has all the magic. It's the opposite. You're writing your dream opponent, the perfect, hated, like completely fallible atheist. To then strike them down.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful
when they get
into that. And
prove them wrong so that you get to win.
When they get into that debate at the end, and there's this moment where the student is like saying, why do you hate God? Why do you, you know, just getting in his face. It's like, and the music is swelling. It's like, this is where his gotcha moment. It's his Perry Mason moment where the professor finally screams why he hates God, proving that he actually believes in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing that bugs me about that is any atheist, even an angry at God atheist, even if that's who he was, would respond, I'm not angry at God. God doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I cannot be angry at something which does not exist.
But again, this entire movie, but besides just being the porn thing, is the pat on the back and the happy handshake to the myth these days that Christians are being persecuted.
Yes.
It's played in perfectly to that. That poor kid is the only person that stood up for God in that whole class from that pissed off atheist. He won.
And even though in the end all the kids stood up and did the whole I'm Spartacus.
I stand for Venice.
I'm Spartacus. Oh, captain, my captain.
His girlfriend dumped him because he wanted to stand up for what he believed in. And you know what?
She was hot too. She's not a true Christian.
No, she's a looker, so that must have been hard for her.
She was a cheek kisser, though. He wasn't missing out on anything.
But here's the thing. I totally... They do a decent job with this kid of making him not be a complete douche.
You know,
he's saying is, I want to stand up for what I believe in, which, you know what, is okay.
His part was really well written, all things.
This kid wasn't persecuted by an atheist. He was persecuted by a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Yes, except to them... Look, in the end... The atheist character was revealed to be the angry atheist because that's all they know about us.
That's what they believe.
They don't know that we can be anything else.
They believe
this played completely into their fantasies.
They believe that atheists are denying God, that we believe in God, and we are willfully lying to ourselves. They believe that revelation at the end of the film where he says,
"Testify,"
where he says, "Yes, I hate God," where he acknowledges that he believes in God and he hates God. They believe that they could if they could push any of the five of us in this room far enough, that we would eventually admit same thing.
They did both of the ways to get us to convert. First they pushed him far enough, and then they had him do a death kit.
Yeah. Oh, and they gave us cancer too.
Cancer. Oh, I forgot about cancer.
Cancer.
This goes back to what Ron was saying about how they Oh, man, I totally lost it. It's getting a little late. Sorry. At the end of the movie, they run all these credits, and they run all these cases that the Freedom Foundation, quote, won at local and federal level about allowing student-run organizations, Christian-run student organizations, mm-hmm. that they won all these victories to allow these, you know, Christian organizations on campus. Well, that's buying into they're being persecuted, that Christians, the vast majority in this country...
Paint them as the underdog.
Yes.
Paint them as the underdog.
Yeah. Well,
up is down, black is white. Yeah. We are living in an Orwellian Christian future right
now. The thing is, this... A year ago, we watched Dark Dungeons, and this isn't that much different, except that the focus seems less silly because it's
in
more...
Dark Dungeons was less silly?
No. Dark Dungeons is sillier because... The idea being, the RPGs are bringing the devil. But all this is the atheists are persecuting us. It's the same goddamn fantasy with the blown-up characters and the, sorry, that wasn't a Muslim joke. But the really overdone stereotypes, the witch lady in Dark Dungeons with her dominatrix gear and the girl who kills herself because
only
she's
one
not
of these
loved.
Movies was like pretty clearly satire, and the other one was
earnestly serious.
But the chick tracks that's based off of wasn't satire.
Right, no,
so it's like, that's, yeah.
And what's interesting about God Is Not Dead is at the end, during the Newsboys concert, they try to actually start a movement.
We should explain what we
text. To text, God is not dead, to three of your friends.
No, all your contacts.
All your contacts. So what did we do here? We picked a very good friend of ours, who's very good Christian.
Friend of the show.
Atheist thinker. He's been on the show. We all texted Byron Miller, God is not dead. So Byron, that's for you.
Yeah,
he doesn't have my number.
Almost 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Suddenly,
the night before Fest.
His phone blows up with God is not dead. The Newsboys told us so. Praise Jesus.
Yes.
The biggest lie of the movie, I think, is at that part when the Newsboys.
The Newsboys
are telling the audience to do this, and they say, there's 10,000 of you here, and if each of you send to all your contacts, how many hundreds of thousands of nope. Sorry, there were not 10,000 people at a Newsboys concert. Like, that didn't happen.
And let's be fair, most of their contacts were at that concert.
Right.
Yeah, they're all texting each other.
The cell tower nearest the Hastings Center just goes down.
I got 50 new messages. What?
Somewhere there's a data center, everyone's like, oh, that goddamn Newsboys are back. Like,
masturbatory bell chamber.
So,
awesome.
Yeah. I don't know.
Someone's 911 call doesn't go through because of that.
That's why that guy died.
They were trying to call 911 to save Kevin Sorbo, and the call wouldn't go through because the texts.
Indeed.
God works in mysterious ways.
Sorry, Tim.
The Newsboys killed that guy.
quick around the table. Thumbs up or thumbs down on God's Not Dead.
Thumbs
Molly?
Down.
Thumbs down. Ron?
Oh, you fucking...
Peer pressure me to God.
They can't see you.
Dark Dungeons was so much more entertaining.
Yeah. It was.
It was seriously entertaining.
Peer pressure aside, I can't recommend this movie, but if you're forced to watch it because your grandmother's a Christian, it's you're not going to hate
it. Better than The Passion.
Yeah, it really...
Well, yeah.
Depends on how
you feel about snuff.
I don't know. Did you like Hostel?
Yes, I do.
And I'm thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
All right. So five questions. We got it. We didn't really prep for this. So we're gonna just what we're gonna do for five questions is we'll each take a turn and we get to ask a question and we'll answer it.
How do we answer the question of the people who wrote the movie?
They can't answer.
Right. So
what do you want answers? Fuck, what kind of atheist are you?
I don't know. We're really
logic, science based,
right,
reason.
Molly, do you have one?
Yeah, I got one. All right. Green grapes or red grapes?
Ooh.
Ron?
Red, as long as they're seedless.
All right.
Mm. Green seedless,
green
chilled.
Red. Oh, cool. All right.
I prefer green. They're a little more tart, and I like tart.
Red, but today I had at the grocery store and I was buying grapes. They had Moondrop grapes, which are like darker purple, and they are, you know, those magnets that you like throw them up in the air and they clatter against each other.
Monkey balls.
Kind of,
yeah.
Or dragon eggs. Sometimes they're called. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're that shaped. They're more.
Wait. So you tasted these grapes, but I didn't see those in the refrigerator. Did you, with no morals atheist, steal those grapes?
They had them out in a bowl, actually, in front of. They were also $10 a pound.
Of course they were Spiralis.
So yeah, I did not get them, but they were fucking delicious.
I also prefer green seedless grapes.
So. Ooh. All right. Red grapes for life.
Ron, red grape man, what's your question?
Since we're all atheists and therefore bereft of morals.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. What would you do that you can admit to on the air if you knew you would get away with it?
Ooh.
Tony.
Well,
I bet I know what yours is.
Yeah, we talked about this
over
here.
It might be mine, too.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I think Ron and I might be on the same. Fuck it. There's a guy we know. There's a married couple we know on circuit. They are a stage act. And he's an abusive asshole.
Ah.
He is truly an abusive asshole. He has not struck his wife nor children.
That we know of.
He has been...
It's not insidious abuse.
No.
It's flagrant.
It's flagrant.
He married
a child.
17. He started dating her when she was 17.
Oof. Maybe 16.
And he was... Maybe 16. He was in
his mid-30s. She can't drive her own truck.
Mm-hmm.
She literally does not know how to drive her truck.
Oh,
that they're their one family
hostage.
Vehicle. He takes away her cell phone to control her. He went so far as to take away her art supplies because she was painting paintings and selling them and making money. And that wasn't fitting his
strength.
And
they needed the money just to get from one festival to another.
Sure.
Because of... Do you want me to say this about your wife?
Yeah.
Because of Ron's wife, she was instigative in letting the woman know that other people know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman came to me last year with the kids. I scooped them up. We took them to a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
She then went back to him. And
to be fair, there were other women. Other wives we know.
Other wives in the peer group. I'm setting all this up. This guy's a douchebag. We all know it. He knows we know it. But we can't do anything about
it.
So what I would admit on the air, I would end him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in the real world of this, I could do it. She needs to change her thinking because she would just seek out another guy.
Can't save anyone that doesn't want to be saved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I would end him.
All right.
I'm not naming names.
No.
For that.
So that's super serious.
Ron, you set me up, man.
I will go the slightly more selfish route because, I'm trying to make a living writing. And that's not the easiest thing in the world. So, boy, if I could sure rob a bank and get away with a couple of $1 million.
Knowing it's all FDIC insured no one's going to lose their money.
That I would do if I knew I wasn't going to get caught. Yeah,
yep.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I think that there's no limit to the amount of corporate theft I would be willing to do if I knew I'd get away with it.
You're my man.
Really, I that's, I don't think that's a, I think that's, most people, if you go by like Dungeons and Dragons alignments, most people are either neutral good or true neutral, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means mostly people look out for their own best interests, but do good and operate, as positive people, and I don't think the corporations are people. And I think that's a bullshit assumption. So I don't think they get included in that. And, I think that, I think I shouldn't answer that question anymore.
All right, Molly.
All
I would frame politicians for heinous crimes and or... sexual discrepancies that would cause them to get out of office. Like I would frame Donald Trump for something like really bad, like killing a drifter or something. Like I wouldn't kill a drifter. I would find something that
can
had happened.
Can I revise that? Because I think it's good, but I think what you would have to do, you want to wait until he gets the nomination for president, and then wait until about a month before the election. The timing's important.
It is.
That's true.
But he's already had an expose documentary done against him. He's already had two tell-all books.
Oh, it would be like
wives,
murder, like
and no
murder.
One does anything.
I know. Right. I know. Yeah, but anyway. All right, Ron.
Or probably rob banks.
Ron, it's your question. What's your answer?
You know, my original one was actually fairly similar to Tony's. There are lots of people who kind of need to be educated. And in fact, I'd be hard pressed. Here's one particular case. There was this guy named Evander Cooey from Florida who kidnapped this little girl. I think her name was Jessica, 10-year-old girl, and took her away to his double-wide trailer and kept her hidden in a closet for about 3 days to rape her repeatedly. And then when the heat got intense, he took her in the backyard, buried her alive.
Yeah.
With her teddy bear. Because, you know, your shit wasn't serious enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not an avenging angel. I'm not necessarily a violent man, but I sure would have liked 10 minutes and a pair of pliers alone in a room with Mr. Cooey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He died of a heart attack. Little girl's still fucking dead in a hole with her. God damn, I'm really angry about this.
No,
to this day, I'm angry about
that.
This
is why I can't. This is why I can't talk about penalties for child molesters.
Yeah, and that's and
like
it's
I
just,
can't. I have no. Just, I have no rational place to think about
death,
it.
There is
the death penalty is too good for them.
There is a part of me that wants to be some comic book level vigilante and just meet justice the way I see fit.
It's kind of a romantic idea.
It is.
It's kind of an immature
romantic idea.
I'm not. Very mature in a couple of levels.
I mean,
everybody wants to be Batman. We all want to be Batman.
Right?
You hear that, Kathy?
No one wants to put in the work to be Batman.
I'm going
to
be a little bit more Joker Batman.
I want to be Punisher.
Dark and gritty.
All right, well, fair. Anyway,
I
want to
be half Batman. I just want my father to die.
Tony, what's your question?
Okay, if you could visit any universe that you know as yourself for a week, for instance... Since I came up with the question, I'm going to go. Like, I've always loved Dune and Lord of the Rings, but there's no way in hell.
No.
I would go there as Tony Miller unless it would, like, hang out in the Shire during the birthday for, you know, Frodo.
Sure.
Right. Honestly, I would visit Arrakeen in Dune at the edge of the city wall in hopes to see a worm. I couldn't go out there because I would be eaten. I'd run that fast in the sand, and the Fremen would kill me. But I would go visit Arrakeen. Or Arrakis.
Desert
planet.
Yep.
Spice.
Yep.
Wow.
Tim.
Yeah, okay. I am going to... You know what? Fucking Star Wars.
Which planet?
Not Alderaan.
Seriously, like, where would you want to go to a cantina? Would you want to show up?
Coruscant or something. I mean,
well, you're
like,
human, so you can go pretty much anywhere without having to worry about Imperial.
I know. I'd fucking rebellion. I'd want to be like at the Rebel base. I'd want to fly.
It's
a
like
fucking,
during the Galactic Civil War.
Yeah, during the Galactic Civil War.
It's a time of great unrest.
It is.
I've been led to believe by the.
But I'd want to fly an X-wing against the goddamn Death Star, and I would probably go down in a blaze of glory.
Certainly.
And that, because you
I can at least be Porkins.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I cannot bullseye a Womp Rat. But I would want to be there for that.
You've never shot a gun.
It's true. So I'd be in real
trouble.
Roll
for stance, by the way. You want to go while I'm in town? Love the table.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's X-Wing training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't even like something I really need to think about. Like, it'd be the 616 Marvel Universe. Like, hands down.
You as Nick Glover.
Me as Nick Glover.
You're going to New York? You're going to California?
See, not New York, because I read comics, and most of Marvel takes place in New York, and, like, I don't know how many hundreds of people, thousands of people die. Superhero-related shit. And not Stanford, because I read Civil War, and I know how that started.
Can you go to Kenosha?
You know what? I can enjoy it from Minnesota. And I can
see it on the news.
Just live in a world where, oh shit, Galactus is on the news. Fuck, what's going on? And then watch the Fantastic Four save the day from the safety of Minnesota.
Sure.
And maybe when Obama decides to break the embargo with Latveria, I can make a vacation trip to Dr. Doom's homeland.
See, I thought you were just showing up right in Latveria.
No. Well, okay, so here's the thing about Latveria. And going there is that, like, no one's hungry, no one's unemployed.
It's kind of a
like,
utopia.
He's a benevolent dictator.
He is.
Ultimately...
Children get ice cream and go to bed on time.
That's right. Children get ice cream and they go to bed on time. That's nothing sums up Latveria better than that.
Singapore.
He's in charge, and you know it's things are better if he's in charge. Everyone prospers. So, I would totally. Well, plus, like, how many accidents and chemicals, and I could come back with superpowers, you guys, because superpowers exist there. I could get bit by something radioactive and come back with awesome powers. I didn't say spider. It could be anything.
No, I know, but if you came back with spider powers, it'd be really hard.
But I wouldn't look like a spider necessarily.
Shoot spiders out of your ass, but you know.
I could, but I could, I mean, who I could
it's
get
true.
Daredevil shit. I could.
You're blind.
I could see your echolocation.
We apologize
face.
For all of our blind listeners, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know.
You guys are fine. I just don't want Nick to be blind.
I could get a whole bunch of, like, mutant growth hormone and come back with, you know, drugs that give you temporary.
You'd have Jubilee's powers and you would know it.
Yeah. Well.
Molly.
I would go to Midworld from Dark Tower.
Sure. Midworld.
Yeah, Midworld. I would go to, I would probably to one of the Calas because they have a lot of, they're used to walk-ins and other people coming. Like Per Callahan shows up. From
wouldn't go
Salem's Lot.
To Gilead or Gilead?
No, I wouldn't go to Gilead because I have to go as Molly Glover and I would be far too bold and brash myself. I would be cast out. They don't.
Because it's courtly and fancy.
It's courtly and women are not. Women are more subjugated. Mm. I don't care what those fucking comics say. I don't care what Robin Firth says. That's garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no female gunslingers. It's just the way it is, man. Just deal with it. And no, I would go to the Midworld and see if I could. Catch up with the quartet.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Ron?
The worst thing about this question is that I'm going to be thinking about it for the next 3 days and coming up with a better answer than the one I've got now.
You're welcome.
The second worst thing about this question is that I have to go as Ron, and we all read these fantasy stories. We all live these fantasy stories, and we always think that we're the hero. That being said, I'd have to go with classic Star Trek.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's in its own sort of socialist fantasy. It's almost a utopia.
Plus
it's a
skirts.
It's a post-economic world. It's what?
I said plus skirts.
Plus skirts,
yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Yuman Rand and that 4 days of braiding her hair thing.
Prime Directive didn't say nothing about fucking him.
Skirts are kind of hard.
You know, it's in some ways the pinnacle of what we are striving to be.
Sure, it's a humanist utopia.
Yeah, but it's also but then again, it's also really socialist. It's post economy, or you know, so I
post scarcity.
Yeah, I'd wonder what the fuck I'd do there other than look around and go, I'm space. You know, and what would I even manage to be a cog in the wheel? That would be my only concern.
You would probably be a living subject of a museum. Who is researched and studied and kept happy and fed, and you'd never have to work a day in your life. And
okay,
you'd get all the luxury.
Holograms! Come on!
Yeah.
Holograms!
That's TNG.
Tim's got fucking lightsabers. That's my only thing.
That's goddamn right. I've got lightsabers.
They're dangerous as shit. Who wants a lightsaber?
Yeah.
Everybody. Everybody wants
a
lightsaber.
He's not force sensitive. It would just be
like
a handle with his hand.
Nothing. Use a lightsaber.
Yes,
dude,
you do, actually.
What?
How do you know I'm not force sensitive?
Not
because you're not. There's no midichlorians. Because
you're from a universe where there is no force.
Whoa,
you're going as you are.
Not according to Splinter the Mind's Eye. You don't have to be force sensitive.
That's not canon anymore.
J.J. Abrams is redoing canons because he says the new one, they're not going to mention midichlorians.
Well, yeah, no. I said midichlorians are going to rise out of y'all.
Same
no,
word.
But like seriously, like now it's force sensitive. So to be able to use a lightsaber, you generally have to be force sensitive. But anyone, they're expanding
If I can take this thought experiment to the point of being in the Star Wars universe, I can be in the Star Wars universe and fucking force sensitive.
Fine.
I can use a fucking lightsaber.
Denied.
Jesus. All right.
Question.
My question.
Do you want to fly an X-Wing or use a lightsaber?
My
both?
Question.
What are you, Luke Skywalker? You can't do both.
Limitless.
He's whiny like he's
my question,
tell me about it.
Inspired by this film.
Oh,
do you want to go
inspired?
To the Tachi station and force the power converters?
Come on.
Inspired by this film, we're going to keep this in the realm of the possible. If you have been diagnosed with terminal cancer, what is the one thing that you would want to make sure you did before you died, assuming that you were capable of doing it?
Drugs.
So Nick?
Nick, drugs?
A lot of drugs, I think. I think I would probably like go to Burning Man find a lot of opportunities to have some very meaningful mind expanding experiences with chemicals. I would probably do a lot of drugs and I mean, if I'm going to go, and I know I'm going to go, and it's, like, very final, and it's a finite amount of time, I would probably, yeah, that's probably
right.
What I would do. It.
Drugs.
And Burning Man, drug, you know.
Burning Man drugs.
Drug
Molly.
Experiences.
I would travel. I would probably want to go to, I've always wanted to go to Ireland. I'd want to go there. I just probably want to travel a couple different places that I haven't seen. And maybe, like, drive cross-country, because I've never done that. But I get kind of carsick, so maybe not drive cross-country.
It's so time-intensive.
Yeah, I don't know. There's stuff I'd be like, I'd want to see stuff. Mm, it'd be seeing stuff, and me and Nick going places together. And what would be a bummer for most people who know me is they'd all want to spend time with me, and I would just want to spend time with Nick, because that's really all I would care about at that point. Like, I'd be like, no, you guys, I love you all very much, and that's great. I really appreciate that. Nick and I have a lot of shit to go to together,
because
he's the one, so bye.
Yeah. All right, Ron.
I would sell everything, borrow a lot in my name, so that Heather's not stuck with it. And then Heather, Scarlett, and I would take a whirlwind trip around the world.
Yeah.
Hit all the important sites, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would record it all. And every minute when I'm not talking to Scarlett, I'd be recording messages. So passing on every bit of stuff
mm-hmm.
that I could do, so that I'm so sorry that I'm dying so young. Here's something that you'll remember.
Well,
and
not
that you'll
so young.
I'm sorry.
I wish you could
fuck all y'all.
I wish you could.
No, no, because it's so completely appropriate. I'm sorry I'm dying when she's so young, and that's what they refer to as a douche.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a touche, but you're still a dick, so that's a douche. I would record a here's my shit to you, baby. Here's my laugh gift
mm-hmm.
to you. You'll always have this part of me.
All right.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm really scared about this mortality.
Don't even go age here. You're all young. I've been teaching self-defense for 21 years. I have heard stories from some of my students about true fucking evil. I would make a list.
You'd go Frank Castle.
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Because all the people in my life know I love them. I have traveled. I've experienced an inordinate amount of stuff. Starting with our gentlemen that we know. I know names of people. I sat through homicide trials of someone I know who was murdered. I would end these people.
Sure.
Evander Cooey's already dead. He died of a heart attack in prison. But
Roger Threat, who kidnapped Lori Poland, raped her for 3 days, dropped her down an outdoor pit, a latrine pit in Colorado. She survived. She survived, except for there's another woman, young girl, who was picked up at 16, raped, and then had her arms cut off.
And got married.
And he served 6 years and is out.
Yeah, and then 10 years later, she got married with the two prosthetic arms. Lovely, but always carrying that. He chopped off her arms and left her in a fucking ditch to die.
Yeah.
And he walked.
And they were going to, what's cool, though, is they were going to let him go in the hometown.
They wouldn't take him.
Well, the hometown didn't take him, and suddenly the town went quiet, and the mayor said, yeah, go ahead, release him, because this is a small town in Colorado, and the FBI was like, what? And they realized that they had a strong suspicion he wouldn't have lasted more than 24 hours.
Yeah, in the end, they
like, do you think?
They tried to send him to Florida, to Tampa.
First Florida, and then Oregon.
And in the end, he got paroled where? In the prison yard, in a fucking RV. That was his parole.
No, that was only for about 7 months until they actually found a city in Oregon. I followed this guy.
This is
really where's it
going? Yeah. So
this
I'm sorry.
This is dark. Oh my god. No, that's good. Mine's not
sorry,
so dark.
Molly.
I would. I would rent.
I know you're apologizing to me. I'm not a rapist.
Well, no, you're just like.
No, are you? I was doing jazz hands.
Oh, sparkly.
Like, yay!
Right. Tony's gonna be a sociopath.
Gonna be.
Yeah, I would rent an RV. I would take my kids out of school. I would drive around the United States and see everything that I could see. Every national park.
I say national parks.
I love national parks. I would see every single one of them. I would see every national monument.
Thus ruining national parks for your sons
you
for the rest
seen
of their life.
No, not even close.
How does that happen?
There's like 100. With
I know, but
with national
since
monuments,
I've known
there's
you, you've taken like 3 or 4 trips a year. How
I
are you
know,
not doing this?
It's only like one per trip. I mean, this is.
Tim, you're a better man than I. Thank you. Thank you for being.
And maybe while I would bring Tony along so he could kill some people.
Yeah,
so.
Tony, when I get terminal cancer, just send me your list, okay? Because I'll do it.
This
Tony,
is
I have autism.
Such a self-indictment episode. Thank you.
All right,
doubly so, right?
Nick, you get the last question.
Last question. All right, so.
You're giving
Mennonites
a bad name.
When Mennonites go bad.
Starting with Molly,
it's
what
true,
is
when you
your...
You lose all morals.
What is either your favorite or least favorite, depending on, you know, when people use it against you in an argument, let's say, logical fallacy?
Oh, my favorite or least favorite logical fallacy. My least favorite, when it's being used against me, is an ad hominem attack. Because it's so lazy. It's just so fucking lazy to be like, oh, yeah, well, nice talk, like, especially when it's swearing. Oh, nice talk coming from you. If you're going to use language like that, then I guess your argument doesn't exist. It's like, okay, well, that's fine. No, I say fuck, and also I just opened your butthole with that argument, so that's fine. But my favorite one is No True Scotsman, because it's so easy to commit. And it's something that, I mean, I think everyone finds themselves committing and meaning. Like, oh, okay, well, no good performer would ever do that. Or, you know, no professional, you know, wears open toe shoes, you know, things like that that you say, and then
no
you're like,
Christian.
Oh, no, that's a fallacy. I'm committing it. But you feel it. It's a very passionate fallacy.
All right.
I am constantly on guard to not make ad hominem attacks. Constantly on guard, and I sometimes fail. And it bugs me. Yeah, it feels like I'm failing in myself. So we'll just go with that as the one. And then here's my deep, dark secret. I misunderstand begging the question. I absolutely do.
People, it's lingua franca. It's gonna change at this point. It's gonna
I hate
just,
it.
Begging the question is just going to become meaning asking the question. Yeah, I know you hate it, honey.
I hate Pascal's Wager.
Mm.
Wow, it's the go-to for almost every Christian that really doesn't think about it a whole lot. Pascal's Wager, the moral argument against which drives me crazy.
Oh, wait, I forgot the naturalistic fallacy. That one that pisses me off even more. Go on.
Oh, it's natural, therefore it's good.
Yeah. What I love to use is Epicurus's syllogism about the nature of evil, God and evil.
Yeah.
He wrote it in 3rd century, was it AD?
I think
it was 3rd century
AD. Can you quote it here?
I cannot.
It's not technically a logical fallacy. It may
it's
have
not a logical
it's
fallacy.
Fallacious maybe, but
it's not. It's a more of a it's a structure. It's a logical structure.
Yeah.
If God is all knowing, then whence come evil? If he's not knowing but knows about evil, then he's impotent. It goes along those lines.
Yeah.
It basically completely disproves God in a very short and beautifully logical scenario.
If that's the case, it's not a syllogism, because here's my favorite syllogism.
You're right.
All syllogisms have 3 parts. Therefore, this is not a syllogism.
That's good. All right, mine. We had this question recently, and I can't remember what I said then, but lately... the one that annoys me the most is the argument from authority. Whenever you tell somebody they're engaging in an argument from authority, their inevitable response is, but I'm an authority, so I get to argue. It's like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you're an authority doesn't mean you can't. You are precluded from supporting your argument.
But
you can't just say, I know, therefore I'm right.
The tricky thing about that one is that there are people who are an authority on something... should listen to who like let's say climate change. You'd say like 98% of scientists all say that climate change is real, and you can bring that up in an argument and someone will say, oh, that's an appeal to authority. You're just saying just listen to them because they're the scientists and they're in charge. It's like not an example of that fallacy.
Well, there's 2 things. One, I hate that false authority thing, which is why I mentioned Linus Pauling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, you're a Nobel scientist. Not in biochemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So don't tell us what vitamin C will do. And 2, isn't the workaround for that to go, it's not an authority, it's the consensus.
And the other thing is, if you're going to argue, I know this because I am a biochemist, if you're any good, you're going to say, and here are the reasons that I know this.
Yeah.
Not just, you just have
if
to
you
trust
just
me.
Say, I know because I'm a biochemist, you're arguing from authority.
Yeah.
Right. You say, I'm a biochemist, and because of that, there is this piece of information and this piece of information and this piece of information that I can share with you. You're not arguing from authority. You're providing me information to evaluate.
That's a nice
How hard is it for all of us to not, because we've studied how to argue, we've studied how to not beat people up with clubs, especially like on Facebook when someone says something stupid, all of a sudden I can just feel the gun go ch-ch.
I can't. I wish they taught how to argue with rhetoric in school. Like, I wish.
It should be just ninth rhetoric. Grade. It should be ninth grade, to be perfectly honest. You should have a class in ninth grade where you learn that.
It should be it's a skill. It's how to sort out bad ideas. How to distance yourself emotionally from an argument. But I'll get into arguments with people, and I have to realize that, like, they're getting really hurt and offended because they can't remove themselves from the argument and actually talk about the ideas and why they're good and bad.
So what are yours?
Lately I've really hated the middle ground. The compromise is good.
Mm.
If I say I'm pro-choice and abortion should be legal, and someone else says they're pro-life and abortion should not be legal, then they might say, well, the compromise is that we just then make abortions really hard to get. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No, that's not a compromise. That's not good. That's not, yay, we're both unhappy, therefore it's better. No, I disagree. A compromise is not always good, is not always something to strive for or achieve. There are some things like gay marriage, civil unions are a middle ground compromise that people offered as a solution.
That's separate but equal.
That is separate, right. That's separate but equal. It's so not.
What's your favorite?
What do you like?
I like the variation of the ad hominem, the tua quoque.
Yeah, I know you like that.
The how can we really believe a word Molly's saying? After all, she is a woman.
Or more like, you forgot to do this thing. Well, the other day you forgot to blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's not what we're talking about.
Yes,
we're talking about that you forgot
this
thing.
Yes, totally what it is. It's you didn't do the dishes. Yeah, well, you didn't take out the trash.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not talking about me taking out the trash. We're talking about you not doing the dishes.
Or you guys are actually talking about a false equivalency.
Yes.
False equivalency, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love, I call that one on a lot.
Too cool, it's just the YouTube.
Yeah.
That's
so,
right.
And you. And you.
And you.
Yep.
And you, yeah.
So this has been a very long, very interesting episode.
I have to get up in 6 hours.
Well, we should probably wrap it up. I think the group consensus is God Is Not Dead is streaming and the price is still too high.
God Is Not Dead is not good.
Yeah, so avoid God Is Not Dead. If you are an atheist philosophy professor, don't be an asshole.
Don't be an atheist.
Just,
yeah. Or you'll be struck by a car and repent.
And you'll be, yeah, and you'll
fate
repent.
Worse
right
than death. Or is it?
Death and confessions for everyone.
And I'm pretty sure not that many people go to Newsboys concerts. I'm just going to put it out there that I think that might be a little bit excessive.
Rocket, you just don't like drummers.
The poster on the kid's wall for them live in concert so that it was a free concert. Maybe that's how they get people.
I totally got to give them props for making a drummer joke.
That was good.
They get props for
even
that.
Yeah,
Christian
right.
bands realize
right.
that the drummer is useless.
They did make an easy joke. Good for them. I'm surprised there wasn't a joke in there about Matt's three divorces. Just a real easy joke to make.
So, if
there.
You have any comments about God's Not Dead or any of this other crap that we talked about, feel free to put a comment out there on the website. We'd love to read that. And I'm going to say goodnight because it's super late and we're all going to bed.
Bye.
Bye.
Not together. Not anymore.
Oh yeah, baby. Convert more atheists. You're making me so hot.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
The newsboys told me to give you a message. Prepare your butthole.